wanted to talk to you about transfiguration, since transfiguration just occurred. So just first a liturgical question, because I've talked about this before, some of you have heard it. Why do we celebrate transfiguration during the Dormition fast? Why?
It was more to do with like a disruptive.
I guess. I mean, we want to celebrate it with a lot of, with some joy, right? When did the transfiguration occur historically?
Well, during his ministry, obviously.
Well, during his ministry. Late in his ministry.
Late.
A week before he went to Jerusalem, right?
Not a week.
That's pretty
40 days.
40 days before Good Friday.
Mm.
40 days before his crucifixion, the transfiguration occurred. So the transfiguration historically is associated with his crucifixion.
Mm.
40 days before his crucifixion, we're in the middle of Great Lent, right? Not in the middle, we're at the beginning or the first few days, yeah. Right? We didn't want to celebrate transfiguration during Great Lent. Because except for even Annunciation, we don't celebrate a regular divine liturgy during the weekdays, right? We don't celebrate regular divine liturgy during Great Lent except on Saturday and Sunday. So there's a certain, we're making it a little bit more sober. But we don't want to celebrate transfiguration like that. So transfiguration was moved outside its historical time. And we wanted to keep the connection. So the Exaltation of the Cross is in September, right? September, yeah. And the Transfiguration is in August, so that it's 40 days.
Mm.
So it's exactly 40 days from the Exaltation of the Cross. I find that to be very interesting myself.
Of course, it's representative of the crucifixion.
Yes, of course. Now, some things are kept in their historical when they occurred. The Annunciation did occur March 25th. And then what would happen 9 months after the Annunciation? Right? What's the gestational time of a baby, right? 9 months. March 25th, December 25th. So those things maintain their historical accuracy, shall we say, but the Transfiguration was pulled out of that because we wanted to celebrate it with divine liturgy. And so that's why we have it. So the Transfiguration was when Christ went up on Mount Tabor with three of his disciples, Peter, James, John. James and John were brothers. They were called Boanerges, sons of thunder, because they were kind of, well, they were young. Sometimes they said things that they shouldn't say, right? One time they said, you know, can we ask God to send down, you know, lightning to the Samaritans, right? Christ says, no, we don't do that. So they were a little bit young and headstrong. And so he called them Sons of Thunder. That's really quite humorous when you think about it. He gave them a humorous nickname is what he did. And by the way, Peter is a nickname also, right? His name was Simon, but he named Peter not to be humorous, but to say, upon this rock, the rock of his belief is what we build the church on. Okay? Thou art Peter, thou art a rock, and upon this rock, which is the confession of Peter, upon that rock of the confession of Christ, I will build my church. I'll answer more questions later, maybe. So, he goes to Mount Tabor with his disciples at night, and then he's transfigured. What exactly does that mean that he was transfigured? What physically happened?
He was revealed as he was in his human nature, like truly.
And then he went to the spiritual realm.
What's that?
He went to the spirit. He was transformed into the spiritual realm.
No, he was right there, but his body showed the light coming out. The divine light coming out because he's God. So within him is the light. God is light. So he showed that light streaming out of him. And the light was so bright that it was brighter than the sun. Now you can't look at the sun without burning your eyes out. But they were able to look at the light without burning their eyes out because it wasn't a natural light. The light of God doesn't obey the physics like light does.
Like the holy fire in Jerusalem.
Well, the holy fire is similar, yeah, but the holy fire is still a terrestrial fire.
Ah.
Right? Okay. But it's has supernatural properties until
after you can bake your face.
Yeah, until you, yeah. Until, for a little while, for a little while. Then it becomes regular again.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, you know, because people share the holy fire and goes all over the world, but then if you put your hand in the candle that has been, you're still burning.
Right.
But in the beginning, you don't. So he revealed himself as he was to his disciples. So before, he kind of, as just like Moses had to have a veil put over his face because he had been in the presence of Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, when he'd been put in the cleft of the rock, and he says, I want to see you, and he says, you can't see my face and survive, so I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by in my glory, and then you can see my back parts. I mean, that's all very symbolic language. Basically, he was showing him the light of God. Right? That's all we could see of God. Nobody can ever see the essence of
God. It's his energies on his head.
His energies, right. Nobody will ever see the energies of God.
Essence.
Essence, you're right. Nobody will see the essence of God. That's impossible because we're not of the essence of God. But we will see the energies of God, the light of God. And some people see it in this world. And I'm sure it's being seen every day by holy people. So he goes on Mount Tabor and shows that light. And what was the reaction of them? They were kind of overcome to be in that presence of that, of all that holiness. And they were also present with Moses and Elijah. Why those two?
Law and the prophets.
The law and the prophets, exactly. The law and the prophets. And they were discoursing with Christ about something. What were they talking about?
The crucifix.
They were talking about his upcoming, as one of the translations says, his upcoming decease. So they were talking to him. They were prophets. They had prophesied these things. And now being, you know, they had been enlightened. They were talking to him about these things. And Peter recognized them, which is interesting because he wouldn't have known what they looked like. There were no pictures, but he just knew, right? He knew that it was Moses and Elijah. So he wanted to build three tabernacles for them. And I love St. John's parenthetical comment. Since he was there, he says, Peter said this and this and this, not knowing what he was saying. So Peter was out of his mind. Everybody was out of their mind. All the three were out of their mind. And as soon as he said that, then the cloud, out of the clouds is the voice, right? And says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So this is a theophany. The cloud is representing the Holy Spirit. The voice, the Father, and of course Jesus was present. So that it was a theophany, an appearance of the Holy Trinity. Why did he do it? Why did he appear to the three disciples in all of his glory? Why did he do it?
Did you make a comment that it was more of like a comfort, like to reassure them?
Yes.
It would dispel doubt since he's about to die in like 40 days.
Yeah, he was going to reassure them. They needed that reassurance. Now, oftentimes, reassurance helps us sort of hindsight. You know, we you know, maybe not at the moment. Because they all ran away except for John, right? And even John was a little bit scared, right? So they all ran away, and they all, when the crucifixion came, they all scattered except for John. And so the reassurance didn't help them then, but it helped them later when they recognized things and when they were more enlightened about things, especially with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I would have liked to have been on the road to Emmaus. Can you imagine what he told them on the road to Emmaus? All the things about the prophecies, you know, the uncut mountain and all those other things. It's like, why would an uncut mountain be the Theotokos? Well, it is. They must have learned it somewhere. I think they learned it on the road to Emmaus myself. We don't really know that.
Do you think that's where a lot of the tradition comes from as well?
Yes. I think it comes from that conversation. It comes from his other conversations after his resurrection. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the teaching of the Theotokos.
Because, I mean, all this conversation, that's basically setting up the church, right? Sort of structure. And, of course, the Holy Spirit empowers and really forms it.
So all those conversations that occurred and all the ones that were not written down in the Gospels, because St. John said if we wrote everything down, we couldn't contain all the books in the world couldn't contain it.
right?
Well, Pentecost as well, the descent of the Holy Spirit, enlightening them to understand, to open the Gospels to them.
Absolutely. All those things
the scriptures
did, and we don't have a record of exactly, you know, why do we believe that the uncut mountain, the mountain not quarried by hands, is a symbol of the Theotokos? Or for that matter, the burning bush is a symbol of the Theotokos. Why? Or the ladder. Those things are all things that were given either by direct inspiration by the Holy Spirit, or it could have been on the road to Emmaus. That's why, you know, if you could get in a time machine, you know, that would be one of the places I'd want to be, is on the road to Emmaus for that entire walk. Can you imagine what he told them? It must have been amazing, because he opened up to them the scriptures, all the things concerning himself. It was a long walk. They were probably walking for 5, 6, 7 hours.
A lot of those, like the uncut mountain, like the ark, you know, it kind of refers to both Christ and the Theotokos as well.
Yeah.
And like the burning bush could refer to us as well, because human nature contained by now.
I guess you could say, yeah.
Without being consumed.
You could stretch it to that. So the transfiguration is a prophecy that we will be in the presence of God and in the light. So it not only is Christ reassuring his disciples, we even say it in the Troparion, don't we? They were assured by the blessing that thou art the Son of God. They were reassured, if not immediately during the time of the crucifixion, it was information that would help them later. But also, it's a prophecy of what's going to happen to us. We will be in the presence of Christ. We will be in the light. So the Transfiguration is it's called the Summer Pascha. It's one of my favorite feasts for that reason.
Al was born on the Transfiguration.
Allie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh, you could have called him. You could have called him Metamorphosis. Marina is Morfula, actually. Morfulas, probably. Her middle name is Morfula, and that means Transfiguration.
That's cool.
So